about Wednesday evening, 12/11/24. We're going to do a return to honor part five, and then we're going to talk about dealing with the spirit of offense. You know, in this world today, it's like it operates by the spirit of offense. We look at the woke agenda. They want us to be tolerant of them, but they will not tolerate us. They are so offended, every little thing that's not said right, if you don't get the pronouns right, if you don't do whatever, they get offended. The scripture has a lot to say about being offended. The kingdom of God is not, or does not have room for that. And so, returning to honor, we're going to have to return to no offense. And people that are used to just being offended about everything are going to have to come out of that, because it's not tolerated in the Word of God or in the kingdom of God, offense. God is going to root out of His kingdom everything that offends. So we're going to look at that. This is Acts 24. I'm going to read to you Paul talking here. Start with verse 1. And after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, "Seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by this providence, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness." Like, you know, when I've talked about before about we're not here to burn bridges, we're here to build bridges. "Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also hath gone about to profane the temple whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain Lysias came upon us and with great violence took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come unto thee by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so." The gospel, I guess, it's offensive to anyone who's not part of it. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, "For as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself. Because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. Nor can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Now after many years I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purifying the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to have been here before thee and object if they had aught against me. Or else let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council, except it be for this one voice that I cried, standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias the chief captain shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. He commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, He sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcus Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. So Paul is trying to do everything to remain cordial. He does not want to offend the government. He does not want to offend the Jews. But nonetheless, he does not get what he wants. I mean, but by divine design, we know God works it all out in the end. But here, offense, this is what this is. Act inoffensive to be offense. Act inoffensive, not leading into sin, faultless. In other words, to be free from offense. We see it in the character of Paul. He's doing everything he can to appeal to everyone that's there, trying to build a bridge, not trying to burn one. But it seems that no matter what he does, he still gets left in prison. In our society today, even among the patriots and Christians, there is nonstop rhetoric. People constantly being offended and venting it on social media platforms. Like I told you before, here you've got people that people esteem highly in the Christian movement, you might say, the Christian patriots, analyzing everything that the not yet inaugurated president, the duly elected president, they're trashing him and bashing him on everything he does, every pick he makes. They're offended. I'm thinking, he's danged if he does and danged if he doesn't. Why would you vote for somebody and then trash and bash him? I don't understand that. Anyway, that's what's going on in this society. The woke agenda is a society that they're offensive about. They're offensive if you don't accept them for the way they are, but they will not accept you as a Christian. They won't. They're not tolerant of anyone that has any kind of decency of any kind, even if you're not a Christian. If you're just a regular person, they're offended at you too. This is Satan's agenda to take out the earth. I wish people that we know knew this, if they saw the truth. They're blinded. The God of this world has blinded their minds so they can't see the truth. All right. Any kind of persuasion that you even try to bring to these people, except for one exception. And I think it was Charlie Kirk. He sat down at a table, and it was all women. I think there was a transgender among them, a transgender woman. And he just began to ask them questions. And he was just real kind. And they were all very receptive to him. Nobody got offended, even when he broached a few touchy subjects. And, you know, that's the way that the church is supposed to be. Not wishy-washy, but not offensive. You know, being offensive back is not going to win them. It's not going to bring anybody back over to the right side by being ugly and nasty the way I've seen people that say they're Christians. Just kill them all. Just hang them all. Just take them all to Gitmo. That type of attitude? No, that's not the... Is that what Jesus said to do? That we were to go into the world and pass judgment on everybody and put them all in prison? No, that's what he's going to do. He will pass judgment. He will put them in eternal hell. That's not our job to do. What's our job? To be non-offensive as much as possible. Because that agenda is Satan's agenda. He is the most offensive thing there is. All right, let's keep going here. Being free from offense causes us to have another mindset. And this mindset is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If y'all want to turn there, I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. I just like it better. You can always be kind to people. I've known a few homosexuals through the years, and mainly through getting my hair done and stuff. There's even one in Midland that he's probably around my age. He watches my program. And all that I could ever be towards him was kind. Because when you see their mindsets, you know they need someone to show them some kindness. They already know what they're doing goes against God and everything else. Don't tell me they don't know. All right. If I can speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for our and in us, I'm only a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. If we as Christians cannot show them a better way, shame on us. They got to want something. They've got to see something they want to make them come away from what they've been ensnared in. That's why it's called the good news, the gospel. And if I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understand all the secret truths and mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so I can remove mountains but have not love, God's love in me, I'm nothing, a useless nobody. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned or in order that I may glory but have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. I'd say this doesn't call ugly names. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it's not self-seeking, it's not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. I don't know anybody in the world that will not respond to just being kind. Maybe just, they may be repulsive. And you might say, well, how is your day going? Have you ever thought about that? Just treating them like they're a human being and just seeing if maybe there is a little inroad there to maybe help them. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices with when right and truth prevail. Like I said last week, if people think just because President Trump's coming into office and he's going to get rid of all the deep staters, you still got these nasty people out here that have nasty mindsets and say and do nasty things. And a lot of them are Christians. So if this mindset doesn't change, Jesus didn't say the world's going to know who you are by the nastiness that you spew forth, or the holier-than-thou attitude that you have. What did he say? How's he going to say we're going to know? You're going to know that the world's going to know that you're my disciples by what? Love. The world will know that you're my disciples by the love you show one to another. Well, what I can see, it's Christians biting and devouring each other. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. You know, you got to view a person like this. I remember one time when I was working at Birthright, the Lord gave me a vision, and I saw this girl come in the door. And I didn't see her outside, I saw her inside. A living being, a spirit that needed God. Didn't matter what the outside looked like. Even what condition she was in. Ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, fades out, becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. I remember someone saying something one time, I never forgot it. They said, just kill them with kindness. All right, let me pick up. Love counters offense. Satan is offense. He is offense incarnate. Love counters offense. Jesus said this. This is Matthew chapter 5. We just have to make it a point not to sneer, not to curl our nose up, in some instances where it's very difficult, and just try to be as nice and as kind as we can be. Try to treat people like they are. Just because they may have altered themselves and they look weird or whatever does not change what's on the inside of them. All right, this is 5:43. You've heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, most look at that community as the enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. If ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. I mean, if God can rain on the unjust and the just, then can we treat a human being with kindness as much as possible, and respect with as much as possible? You're never going to get anything done, or you're not going to show Christ's love to anybody by criticizing. Are you going to burn in hell for that? Yeah, that's what they want to hear. That really makes them respond. Yeah, you're going to burn in hell. Are you the judge now too? The Lord only knows how they got there. Matthew 24. This is verse 12. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The love of many. When love waxes cold, the offense is high. You know, back before President Trump came into office the first time, we would have never dreamed that we would see what we see today. It's just nearly uncanny. It's like everything was hidden in secret. All the evil just suddenly was just in your face. It's just nearly more than most people could even comprehend or understand. A lot of people are fearful. But we don't need to be afraid. God wants us to be the light of the world. John 3:16, this is what it's all about. This is why he came. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. I mean, when Jesus was here, the Roman government, they were heinous. But that the world through him might be saved. He didn't come to condemn. He came to give his life for them. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know, Jesus is not going to, he gave his life, and so when he comes, he has given every opportunity. That's why it says God is slow. because he doesn't want any to perish. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. But everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So he sent Jesus for this very reason, so that he could appeal to as many as possible, snatch as many out of the fires of hell as he could. But there'll be a day that door will close and no one will have an opportunity after that. It'll be set. Whatever master you've chosen, that's the master you will go to. Just as Jesus saw the signs of the times in his days, so are we. I have to be honest with you. We were talking about it the other day. I don't know if we're actually going into the 1,000-year millennial reign or if we are actually at the time of the Gog and Magog is what we've just been through. I know a lot of bloodshed has happened. We've been protected from it. We have not seen it. We have not really been exposed to much of it, but I know a lot of people have died in the last 7 years. If you read about Ezekiel, I think it's 38 and 39, it talks about the Gog and Magog war, where it take them 7 years just to bury the dead. And the machinery and the airplanes and stuff that were shot down, they could use it for fuel for all those years. That's how much of a wreckage and carnage there would be. So we'll see. I don't know. One day I heard a voice speak to me, and I still don't know to this day if it was the Lord or if it was the enemy. Why would the enemy tell me that? But this is what it was a question. What if this is the time of Satan being loosed for a season? Not the tribulation period and waiting for the millennial reign, but all that already transpired. There is proof, Tartarius proof. So I don't know. I can't tell you. I'm not conclusive on that. But either way, we're here to get the gospel out. We're here to represent the Lord in the earth as long as it takes or whatever, as long as we're here or whatever's going to transpire. I hope we are in the latter part. Because that means we're fixing to all be changed and we don't have to deal with this sucky body anymore. And we'll live with him forever. I'm thinking that sounds pretty good to me. But even going into a 1,000-year reign, that sounds real good too. But you know, not as good as that other, but good. So I'll let you pray about it. See if the Lord will speak to you something about it. I've never had any more about it. That's the only reason I read the book on Tartaria, was because after that was said to me, I kind of thought, well, and I took a long time. I had that book for, I don't know how long, maybe even a year before I ever dared to even pick it up and read it. And it absolutely depicts a renegade spirit destroying a 1,000-year perfect reign on earth with no wars, advanced technology, all these things. And they have the evidence. They've got the photographs and all the things. It's not just something that's just been picked out of the air. There's proof. Okay, let's move on. All right, I read John. Okay. All right, we must always remember that there is one enemy, and that is not our fellow man. Satan's always the target. He's always the enemy. And so when somebody offends you, keep that in mind. It's real easy to get offended. Somebody says something ugly or doesn't do something right. It's real easy to get mad at that person and let offense come into your life. But the one that causes men to act ugly and do those things is the enemy himself. So remember that the only true enemy that we are coming against in the name of Jesus is the devil. It's not flesh and blood. It's the devil. If you remember that, it'll help you. I don't always like it, but that's the facts. Okay. We must not take it into our own hands to be vindicated. We have to sow it to God. I remember Oral Roberts saying this. He said there were times that he would begin to think about all the ugly things that people had done to him. Horrible things. He said, I'd get the feeling so bad, and I'd just sow it to God. Forgive them, Lord. They didn't know what they were doing. Isn't that what Jesus said on the cross? Forgive them, Lord. They just don't know what they do. Why? There's a renegade spirit loose on this earth, and he's influencing men. Matthew 13. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. He's going to do it. We're not going to do it. He's going to do it. Okay, I'm going to keep going here. I've got quite a few scriptures here. Romans chapter 12. That's something I speak in the petition I wrote, that he is going to weed out everything that offends. Well, that'd be anything that goes against his divine order, wouldn't it? Absolutely. This is Romans 12:9. It says, love, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor preferring one another. You know, I think it's hard to be ugly to someone that's being kind to you. Maybe soft-spoken and just gentle. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, giving to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Here's the returning it back to God. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. That's not taking offense. God's the avenger. But rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. He'll do it. If you'll do the honorable thing and let him do it, not take it into your own hands. All right, now go over to Hebrews chapter 11. This is verses 32 through 39 here. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. These are the, when we were talking Sunday about the Faith Hall of Famers, that's what they do. They did. They suffered loss. And some of them didn't see any retribution before their death. But you know what? When it comes to the end, God's going to avenge it all. It's going to, retribution will come. All men have a choice. All right, there's two institutions here, offense or love. They don't mix. All right, Jesus is our example of perfect love in the face of the foulest offense on earth. This is Luke 23:34. I was watching someone doing a documentary on the Shroud of Turin, and they had all this computer stuff, and they even were able to depict even his facial features. And they got to talking about the stuff that they actually did to him, and I got nauseated. I couldn't watch it. It was so heinous what they did to him. They said he was so battered that he was nearly dead before they ever put him on the cross. All right, 23:34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I mean heinous. Well, the Romans were heinous. They were horrible. They were brutal. Probably like the modern day. Well, I don't know about the Nazis. There's some question about them. But anyway, they were very brutal. And they treated Jesus very brutally. He didn't revile. He went as a lamb to the slaughter. He opened not his mouth. He told him in the garden, I could have called legions of angels to come and assist me. But this is the reason I came. That's what he said. All right, keep going here. Matthew 5, 43. Did I already read that one? Let me look. I did. Okay, we'll go on then. Matthew 6. Starting with verse 9 there. Jesus said, after this manner, therefore pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So, how do we shake off offense? Forgive them, Lord. They just don't know what they're doing. And lead us not into temptation. Isn't that amazing? After forgiving the debts of others, it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. To get into offense with people is to get into evil. Help us, Lord. When we will not release offense, we are saying to the offender, you owe me. Some people hold grudges and hold that offense against someone all their life. It doesn't do anybody any favors. You need to release that offense to God, forgive the offender, put it in God's hand. Let's read a couple more scriptures here. Hebrews 10:31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Like Paul said, I do my best to stay free from offense of God and towards men. People get mad at God, rant and rave. God can take care of things for us if we'll let Him, if we'll allow Him to. And if we're offended or somebody's offended us, then we need to turn it over to Him and He'll take care of it for us. I believe that. I was reading over there today, number 16, and this is all about Korah's rebellion and, you know, they rebelled against God. But you know what? Moses, you know, he always fell on his face and tried to be an intermediator between the people and God. But this time, these wicked leaders, because they did what they did, the earth opened up and swallowed them. Have you ever wondered where they went? The pit. That's where these offenders are going. They're going to the pit. God sent them there. All right. When the enemy tries to bring up the past to you about an offense that someone has done to you, tell him, "I've already forgiven them," and turn it over to God. Don't let him keep coming to try to get you off into that. Just say, "No, I've forgiven them." It's just like if the Lord, if you've sinned and you've asked forgiveness and that keeps coming up to you, this is what I say. Forgiven. Don't matter what I did. The devil brings it up to you. Something happened eons ago. Forgiven. That's what Jesus' blood did. Forgiven. One more scripture. Matthew 6. Just one scripture in Matthew 6. And here's the key. It's our warfare, really. If you want to go over and read about the weapons of the armor of God and about 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5, this is really what this is. This is Matthew 6, 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Period. Whatever's going on with you, somebody's offended you or whatever, instead of taking offense, cast it on the Lord and say, "Lord, here, I'm going to give it to you." If we're not to take any thought, any care of any kind about our life, that's what we have to do. And I guess this would be a good time of year to do that, because a lot of that kind of stuff comes out over the holidays. So I hope that helps y'all, because we're his representatives, and we don't want to shame him. We want to represent him. It doesn't cost you anything to be kind to somebody. You don't have to love them and hug them up. Just be nice. Just be kind.